This Week in Survivor is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved riding your bike all summer long. And while you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet, so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all states.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, thank you, Will from America, for the theme song to This Week in Survivor. I'm Rob Cesternino, back in the studio after what was a very wild week in Survivor, in Rob as a podcast, and very excited to get into it with you here today, because we are going to be doing things a little bit different this week. This Week in Survivor is the first podcast that you're going to hear. Hannah Shapiro is going to be with me in the studio on Saturday. Then after a break for Easter Sunday and Passover, I will be talking with Mama C on Monday night. So you'll have the Wiggle Room and a podcast with Mama C coming up on a jam-packed week of Rob as a Podcast. But let's open up the festivities here today for this Passover Seder that we're putting together for you on This Week in Survivor. First, a man that I saw down in Philadelphia. Here he is, the great Jordan Kalish.
How you doing, Rob? Did you have fun? Did you have fun in Philly, Rob?
I had a really great time in Philadelphia. It was a jam-packed trip. I think that I was there for a little more than 48 hours in Philadelphia, and I think I got more in this trip than I do on a longer trip. So very fun week in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I have to say I agree. It's been a while since I've been to Philadelphia, really great city. And I got to say, potentially, and I love the New York know-it-alls. I love not having to travel too far and be able to go to everything. But arguably my favorite know-it-alls. I mean, the after party was at like the best bar that we've been to. Amanda Rabinowitz set it up. And it was really great. The whole weekend was so much fun. So many survivors were there, and I had a really great time.
Okay, but we have a Survivor episode and a double boot episode to talk about here with our great friend, a woman who is the co-host of the Challenge Rehapa podcast, potentially the millennial judge and more. Please welcome the great Allie Lasher.
Hey, it's totally appropriate to be here on the Passover episode because it's like very let my people go. I'm here against my will. I've said on my podcast, my official position is reluctant. But no, I'm happy to be here with you guys. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Now, what is the reluctance on your part? You're not happy about being on This Week in Survivor.
No, I just... Survivor history has never been my thing.
Okay.
Or for like Mama C's, yeah, baby, my bag. it's like I love Survivor. I have watched every season since I was like 11 years old when it premiered. And I have only gone back and watched selective seasons. I am not a savant. I am not a historian. I don't claim to be. And so it's never appealed to me to get quizzed on things I don't know. I like to be prepared for exams.
Okay.
Call me crazy.
Yeah. Hey, look, don't worry about the quiz. That's a problem for an hour from now. Let's just have fun talking about everything that's going to go on. And of course, we'll get into all of the Survivor social media with Allie later on in this episode. But Allie, let's talk about everything that went on here this week with the double boot episode. Yeah, it was a real reckoning for the returning players this week. Are you happy or sad to have the deck cleared and now all of the returning players are on the edge of extinction.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't 100% realize when you first asked me to do this podcast that you guys really covered the episode. So I feel like Chrissy a little bit. Like, I thought I was just going to be in the audience. I didn't realize I was going to be coming up to talk about Survivor. But no, I am... I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting. I mean,
do you have any hot takes?
Yeah, well, I have hot takes. And literally, I have Chrissy in my notes because I knew I wanted to say that. And then I wrote hot takes immediately after. So I did a little bit of prep in the last 15 minutes before getting on the podcast. I'm thrilled because I think when I first heard about this season, like all of you, it was like, okay, Joe's going to win. I mean, look, I made him my winner pick in all of my drafts, so whatever. There's an upside if Joe comes back and wins, not just for your mom, but for me as well. But I'm happy that we have like such strong, dynamic new players who are doing what no players before have ever done. Like, I can't believe we're facing the last extinction return and it's going to be all four new players that are there competing. So only one of them can come back. Like, that's exciting to me. And I'm happy with the new players. I am a full Kelly stan. I've enjoyed the like fun, playful rivalry between David and Kelly, but I really like Lauren. I'm hoping that when Kelly leaves, we'll see more from Lauren. So I'm excited the deck has been cleared.
Now, Allie, is there anything that the returning players could have learned from watching the challenge where the returning players always dominate and you really have to put your time in before you can advance and do well on the challenge if you're a first-time player?
Wow, that's impressive, like, that you've watched a challenge and were so prepared with that question. No, almost convincing. No, I think that's a great question. I think what's different and what causes the returners to dominate is that people know that more returners are going to keep coming back, right? Like, these new players don't really have to be worried about like playing with Joe Anglim again. Whereas on the challenge, like, all the rookies want to do is like get in bed, sometimes literally, but metaphorically, with the veterans so that they get a part of the fold and continue to come back, because you can make a move your rookie season, like in this case, like War Dog, like cutting Kelly, that then she comes back with all of her friends the next season and you get screwed there. So I think that's like a different dynamic that they can't really pull from the challenge on.
Allie, as a Kelly stan, did you feel like that War Dog made a foolish move this week?
Did he make a foolish move? Like, no, because this is what we always want. Like, we want, you know, Steven to cut JT or Steven to cut Jeremy or Steven to do something. No, we want people to turn on the people they can't beat. Like, I do think, I know there was some debate on like whether a returning player can win or not. I'm in the camp where if War Dog goes to the end with Kelly and Lauren, I think Kelly wins.
I agree.
And so I think he recognized that, and everything was in flux enough to like make this move happen with such little work. Like, nobody else had a strong thing going on. I mean, Victoria and Gavin, they're sort of floating with Julia gone, and Ron and is flexible enough because he's not confident with either side of the swing. You have Devins, who just lost his only strong ally in the game. So this seemed like maybe it felt too soon to me, but at the same time, like, it was kind of the perfect situation where everybody would be willing to go along with it.
Allie, I want to ask you about your fellow person in the legal profession, Aurora, who ended up this week trying to make a move by giving her advantage to Ron to keep her safe. And I wanted to ask you what you thought about that decision.
Yeah, what the hell was that? I have a couple questions. I know, again, it was like speculated that about the transferability, like, do we know that this was transferable, or was it literally if Ron voted her out, he couldn't use it? Like, was it like, I'm giving it to you to hold in the trust that you'll give it back? Maybe he couldn't use it and it would just be getting her out of the game and getting the extra vote out of the game, but not that he could keep it.
Yeah, I do believe that survivor law should be that possession is 9/9 of the law, where if you have the advantage, you should be able to use it, especially if that person willed it to you. Even if you are borrowing it, then it's not like that you took it out of somebody's bag. If Aurora gives it to you to hold, that you can use it. And that's a great question about the transferability of it, where I kind of felt like that coming out of Game Changers, where we had that issue with Sarah giving her thing to Suri to hold and then it not being transferable. I thought that we were going to remove that clause from the language of any of these advantages, but that would be a great question to ask Aurora if we get a chance to talk to her after the season.
Yeah, because the more I thought about it, the less I think it's like possible that Ron could have used it if she was out of the game. I still think he should have voted her out. Like, I think it was the right move for War Dog, but the wrong move for Ron. What I wanted to happen here, which
I agree, that was my takeaway from the episode the other night.
I wanted them to do Julie and Ron to do the Sesternino swing where they get David out, then they swing to Kelly. But I wanted him to have like agency over the move with Julie.
Yeah.
I think that they recognize that they were, or Julie didn't necessarily recognize this because she's got Aurora blinders on. But I think Ron recognizes a bit that they're on the bottom of both of those core groups. And so I think it's the right time to like do that swing. But in this case, Ron gets no credit for it and he pisses off Julie. I think he'll be able to get back with Julie, but I think he could have really worked it where he goes to Julie. I recognize they didn't have a lot of time and that was partially part of Aurora's giving it to him right before.
Mm-hmm.
But in an ideal world, he gives Julie the agency. He says, look, this is what's happening. We can get Aurora out or we can swing and get Kelly out. If she's like, no, I want Aurora, get Aurora out this week and then swing the next week. That's fine too. Like, I just think screwing Julie was not the move.
Julie hates Aurora so much, Allie. I don't understand why, but almost every time that Julie's on the screen now, she's talking about how we have to get Aurora out. And it was the thing where it's like Ron couldn't even bring up to her that they were going to potentially not vote out Aurora.
And that's fine. Then maybe you don't make the move yet, but you include her, you talk to her about it, you set up the future of like next week, though, we're going to swing and vote out one of those three. And then we can kind of keep going back and forth because everybody seems open to play. Like, what is Gavin's next move? Like, that's what confuses me. Like, what are Gavin and Victoria planning now to like work with War Dog, Axe Lauren, and then go for Ron and Julie? Like, I think everybody has sort of like a blocked path forward, and Ron and Julie were really set up better than anyone to sort of work that in their direction. I keep doing this with my hands. You can't see it, but I keep like swinging back and forth. And it's like, but I think just like doing this, letting War Dog get credit for it and like pissing Julie off, who, like you said, like really wanted Aurora out. And you saw how Julie handled, you know,
right,
getting blindsided in the past, not well. So I just think like this was not the right play unless somehow she knew about it. Like, I don't know. I think Ron kind of got screwed here.
Right. And also Ron expressed, I think in both the tribal councils, at least both the episodes, how he's not really comfortable about working with War Dog. He doesn't like how War Dog approaches things. And so to make this move, he sort of is making this path where he kind of has to work with War Dog, because I don't think that he can really put together a coalition of like, okay, even if he gets back with Julie, Julie doesn't want to work with Aurora. So he, based on the previews, it looks like that he's talking with War Dog and Rick Devins. And so this is a group that I don't really see Ron having a lot of control over, whereas that if he would have been able to potentially hold on to that Aurora advantage and then also end up getting Aurora out of the game, and then he still has Julie, Kelly, and War Dog are really mad at each other after what War Dog tried to do, I do feel like that he has a little more control in that direction.
Why wouldn't Aurora actually use the advantage here? Like, that also frustrated me. Like, she knows this is a plan that hinges on Ron. She could just use the extra vote.
Well, If that's the case, then does it end up going to, is it 5-5 then? Is it, does it end up forcing a tie to go to Rocks as opposed to
Was that not enough? Math is not my strong suit.
Yeah, because then, Jordan, this is your area of expertise, right?
Yeah, as the math expert on the podcast, yeah, this was the final 9 vote, I guess, that would have made it 5-5. But you do get to use the extra vote in a revote, right?
Yeah, but then I think if it's coming down to Rocks, I don't know if she gets, well, she, I don't think that she
would be safe, though. She would be safe because she was one of the people who was voted for.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I think they don't go to Rocks over Aurora. People flip and vote her out.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Okay. Let me ask you about something that I've wanted to talk to you for many weeks. Earlier in the season, Allie, you were on the RHAP B&B, and it was a great B&B episode with Mike and Liana. But one of my big takeaways was that you were really down on Rick Devins. You seemed that Rick Devins was somebody who you did not love. And now, for the most part, I think that Rick Devins has been received very positively this season. And now you were one of the people who, or the person, a long time ago. And it's been a tough week for the Gen X tribe on television. But Ken McNichol, you came out and said, why are people standing this guy? He sucks. He's the worst. And I'm not going to say whether or not you were right, but you were the first person with that opinion, and you are not the only person with that opinion now.
Who was standing Ken McNichol?
People loved him. Colin Stone was saying he's going to win the season, and people were on board saying, like, oh my God, he talks about vinyl.
Well, if Colin Stone says it, it must be true.
So people were very high on Ken McNichol in the pre-merge. That this is well before he gave a test to Will Wall. And so people were super high. Allie came on and said, what's the deal? Why are people in love with this guy? Now, here's Rick Devins, who's been a very popular figure this season. And Allie, at that time, was not high on Rick Devins. And I want to know, has your opinion evolved, or are you even more dug in against Rick Devins?
Okay. So my opinions never evolve. I just keep changing my justification. So be right. Let's be clear about that. No, I don't get the adoration. I don't hate Rick. I just don't get the appeal. Seemingly happened immediately. Now, I think Josh Wigler's story is hilarious, of him saying, like, oh, my name's also War Dog. Like, I think Devins has had more highs in my eyes than Ken did. Like, I don't feel as strongly about disliking Devins. What bothers me about him is he's overproduced. And I think because he's like an on-screen man, like, he knows what to do on TV. And it just, to me, doesn't feel natural. Like, I'm not buying it. I don't think it's genuine. I just think he, like, knows what he's doing. Like, when he's, like, trying to narrate like Christian did in the challenge this week. Like, the comparison is, and Lyrsa called me out and was like, Devins didn't see Christian. Like, fair enough. But he's in the challenge. And, like, he loses the challenge because of it. Like, Christian, that seemed so genuine. Like, Rick is like, oh, this will be a great moment. I didn't like in the
so
second
you didn't
he
like
asked,
the, you didn't like this moment from the episode.
How about you, Devins?
Dun, 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 dun.
This sucks.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And I just think, like, anytime somebody has to ask you to call them by your last name, like, that's not normal. That's not, I mean, I know Cochran did it too. I don't like that either. Like, you're Rick. I'm sorry. Unless Jeff decides. Like, I don't know. I just think the whole thing's pretty, and everyone's like, ooh, Devins is getting called by Devins. Like, Devin asked to be called Devins. That's not cool. Like, people generally in my life call me Lash or Lasher. I got to law school. It didn't happen. Did I tell people, could you please call me Lash? That would be a great term of endearment that I would feel like cool with. Thank you. And then here's what also grinds my gears here. I think you got more than you bargained for here. Maybe this is exactly what you expected. Everyone decided they loved him so early on, and that's fine. I love that his wife does the wand offs. Like, that's very cute. But now he's untouchable because he's this like darling, and Steven's like, oh, he gave the best tribal performance. He gives the best tribal performances. Like, no, he doesn't. When he came back into the game, he really screwed up, and like a normal player who's not just universally adored would get blasted for the way that he acted when he came back in. So now I feel like he's just so untouchable by everyone that I need to well, I don't want to touch him, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I always appreciate hearing a different view than what we get to hear on the podcast. So I appreciate you, even if maybe not everybody agrees with what you're saying. And I applaud your bravery to come out against somebody who has been received well for the most part by the audience. I don't know if he was untouchable. I think that a lot of people did call him out after he came back and then had that moment with War Dog, where War Dog was talking about, hey, you should vote with us. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to get back together with you guys. But actually, I wouldn't, because I hate you guys and I've never vote with you. I think people felt like that he was being very emotional there.
I thought, well, there's a difference between being emotional and being stupid, right? Like, I don't mean to criticize him like, oh, he was too emotional. Like, I'm emotional, no problem. Mm-hmm. But, like, be emotional elsewhere. I mean, God, you killed me with T-Bird when you're like, I step away and cry now. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he got the same like shit that other people would have gotten. I think I saw a lot of people like excusing it, like, of course they voted him out. Like, of course he's going to react like that. No, that happens all the time when someone like blindsides a person and they come back angry, mm-hmm. like Julie. People are like, oh, she's acting crazy. She's such a bad player, including me. And then when Devins does it, they're like, of course he would do that. I'm not saying everyone. And look, I'm taking an extreme position. I don't think Devins is bad TV. I don't think he's a terrible player, but I just think like he's above reproach in certain respects in ways that he shouldn't be. And I don't like asking for a nickname on your own. I think okay. That shows a lot about the production that I don't love.
Yeah, I never asked to be called D-Schoolish. Mike Bloom started calling me D-Schoolish.
He literally did ask to be called D-Schoolish.
No, Mike Bloom started it. I never asked.
Are we sure about that? Can we check the records on that?
We could check the records, but I'm pretty sure that it was definitely the Mike Bloom podcast. We'll go back and listen to that one. When we do This Week and This Week in Survivor History in a couple of years,
okay.
we'll go back. That quiz I'll come okay. on for.
Now, Jordan, that you have a connection to Rick Devins now that you were telling me about beforehand, before we started recording this show. Could you tell the audience?
Yeah, multiple people at the live know-it-alls came up to me and said, you know, you have a doppelganger on the season, and it's Rick Devins. And I think I did see it.
This sucks.
It doesn't suck. I don't think it sucks. I think it's just, I don't see it. I don't see the resemblance. I mean, we have similar glasses, and maybe both a little case of the dad bod. But yeah, I mean, it was like four or five people at Live Know It Alls, and I think I did see it on Twitter from a couple people saying that I resembled him. But look, I'll take it. I know Allie, you're not the biggest Devins fan in the world. I got to say, I was hashtag Devinstated when he was voted out earlier in the game, and. Yeah, I'll take it. This is a pro Rick Devins podcast. He's tweeted us before. I'm a fan.
Allie, would you cast Jordan Kalish as the young Rick Devins, or would you, or Matthew Perry?
Sure. In what? Do I have to watch the Devins?
The Rick
life
Devins story.
Story.
The Rick Devins story.
Yeah. I mean, I see that. I think that's a fair comparison. I also like, again, I didn't realize Devin listens to this podcast. I never tweet criticism directly at a person. I hate people who do that. Unless you do it to me, then it's fun. No, but I hope Devins isn't offended by this criticism. If anything, I'm jealous, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it was like a personal criticism, really. I think you're more critical of the people that are blindly standing Rick Devins. And I mean, look, we criticized his move on this podcast where he told War Dog that he didn't want to work with him. But I think he's recovered nicely. And to be honest, I actually think David getting voted out may, in the long run, be good for his game, because if his plan was to go to the end with David Wright, I don't think he's winning that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that would be a closer case than like the Kelly Lauren War Dog thing between Devins and David. But yeah, I, Demons. Now I'm tired of talking about him, honestly.
Okay, look, I was happy to get the backstory of why, because when I listened to the B&B, I felt like that it was kind of like out of nowhere. But I do think that this is your thing. Somebody is almost universally beloved. You are going to be the voice of dissension.
So I'm like, the hold on a cloud. Second.
Yeah. So,
but I think Devin's a lock to return on a season. Like, I think he's to the point that he's like, this is what happens when somebody like has experience in television. Like, he's good on TV because his life is on camera and he knows what moments to produce. I'm just not reading it as a super genuine. It's not my cup of tea of a Survivor character.
Okay.
What's with all these comparisons between me and survivors from Atlanta? Because everyone said things I sound like Spencer, who's from Atlanta. And that really makes, I mean, I hear it. Like, I hear the similarity. But why does some guy from Atlanta have the same voice as me, who's from New York? And now I look like this, like Rick Devens, who's also from Atlanta. Maybe I should move there. Maybe this is where I should be.
That's what I'm thinking too.
This feels like the sequel to Us.
Allie, what did you make of Kelly, who really her superpower in Survivor has been, okay, Kelly Wentworth, she finds the idol, she plays the idol when she needs it. That was really her calling card coming into the season. And then true to form, she ended up finding that idol right before that double tribal council. And then here she was in the post-merge with it in her pocket. And she talked about it. Hey, I've got this idol. I've got this idol. And the good thing is, if I'm feeling like I'm going to need it. And then ultimately, she goes home with the idol in her pocket. Do you feel like was an ironic turn of events for Kelly Wentworth?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is what she says in the episode. Like, she's used to playing from the bottom. And I think she got comfortable sitting in the majority alliance. Although maybe I missed it. Like, I didn't feel like she was clearly in the majority alliance. Like, if everybody's taking swipes at you and you almost go home week after week, like, are you really comfortably in the majority alliance? Like, what? Ron and Julie voting with them for 1 week all of a sudden, like, puts her at the top of the food chain?
Well, they voted out David Wright 8-2 at that previous tribal council. So it was probably, I was going to say it was the most lopsided vote, but the week before we ended up with 9 votes against Julia after all of the craziness. So I think it was starting to feel like, at least based on what we saw in the episode, that there was this group of 6 which came out of that tribal council where Julia went home. And then they voted out David Wright and everything was going according to form. And I think that she kind of got lulled into a false sense of complacency.
But after 1 week, and look, like, I would be terrible on Survivor. I've said that a million times. I don't think I'm like, oh, I would have sniffed this out. But honestly, like, they were working together for 1 week. And yeah, I think she played it really well during that tribal council. I think she has really, really good tribal council performances and has made up for a lot of war dog blunders, especially with working on Ron. But you have 1 week, and don't you have to think, I'm the only returning player left in the game, and while I don't think War Dog and Lauren will flip on me, everybody else is like in this nebulous space of an alliance, and wouldn't it be so easy to just say, let's get the last returning player out? I don't know why she wouldn't use it this week. I mean, she's had nerves of steel the whole time. And so is Lauren, but I don't think it makes sense for Lauren to play her idol until Kelly plays hers, because I think they'll always be going for Kelly before Lauren. I think it's genius that they've made them think that the only advantages are available on Extinction, so nobody's even guessing that they have an idol. And Kelly's able to find these things. Like, why doesn't she trust her ability? You know, when her and Lauren have found one already, right. Once you find one, it's easy. Play it. If you don't, you'll find it the next time, you or Lauren. I don't understand why she didn't pull the trigger. Although I guess I haven't understood why she hasn't played it earlier. So maybe I'm just saying this because she ended up getting voted out.
And this is why I really love the move that War Dog made here. I do think it could end up blowing up in his face, where I don't think he was going home anytime soon. We're now potentially that he's made this move, he could be the next one to go. But I think going to the end, as you guys said before, with Lauren and Wentworth was not going to work out so well for him. Where now he's made this move, every vote that we get further further into the game, Kelly's idol has more power. And it becomes harder and harder to blindside her. It becomes like a Wendell and Dominic situation.
Well, he didn't even know that they had the idols.
He didn't know that they had it, but you have to assume you're playing Survivor with Kelly Wentworth. She might have it, and you're probably not going to beat her at the end. So I really think that this move, I didn't think that War Dog, I thought he was playing a good game, but I didn't think that he was necessarily in a great position to win. Now I think he is, if he's able to get past this vote, I think he could be in a very good position to win. But also, it puts him in a lot of danger because now he's so out in front.
Yeah. This is the first time that I'm really starting to think about War Dog as potentially being the winner of the season. So I think that that definitely... In my mind, at least, I think that he is in a better position now than he was prior to making this move, because I didn't see a path to the end for him where he was not going to be blocked by Kelly Wentworth. So that's why I like the move for him. But just to go back to Kelly, that Allie, I almost feel like that for Kelly, it would have been better for her in this post-merge if that they were able to just vote Rick Devens back out as soon as he came back from the edge of extinction. And this was something that I was critical of the way that she was handling her business at the start of the merge. But if Rick Devens goes out and then maybe David Wright after that, where it ends up where sort of like that Lesu 3 group ends up being the only people left with all Kama. I think that in that scenario, then I think that Kama was due to crack at some point. And then based on if they're the last couple of people left and then she knows the votes are coming her way and then her or Lauren are able to play their idol at the right time, that maybe that ends up being the more classic Wentworth-esque approach to this post-merge and maybe one that suits her better.
Yeah, I was very confused why that was met with such extreme pushback. I think she got really unlucky that, like, Julie was such a vocal, moral, quote-unquote moral voice of, like, oh, how terrible it would be to vote him out again. Like, he was voted out. Like, you vote him out again. Like, I don't understand. I think she got really unlucky that it seemed like the new players were persuaded by the, like, oh, how devastating to vote him out again. I think that was, like, the clear right move for almost
everybody.
You
had no issues with the morality of sending Rick Devens back to the edge of extinction, right?
Why is it less moral to vote somebody out who's been in the game who hasn't been voted out? Like, why is that more moral? Like, why is that the right decision? You know what? Somebody who's been voted out, he deserves to say. Somebody who's getting screwed by this twist, they should go. That's morality. Millennial judge rules. Like, why is that?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Allie, any other hot takes that you want to give us before we start to get into the social media from this week on Survivor?
The only other thing maybe a couple things, but the last thing I want to say about the Ron War Dog move here is, like, maybe it is the path to the end for War Dog, and maybe Ron and War Dog end up kind of going to the end. I think War Dog could beat Ron in the end, especially because War Dog seems to be in control of all these moves. I think Ron and Julie's relationship has to be strained now. Ron potentially needs a new number one. He probably isn't worried about sitting next to War Dog. I don't remember if he said anything about that. I know he's not thrilled to be working with him, but he really could have screwed War Dog this week by having War Dog write Kelly's name down and Kelly not going home. That would have been, like, a huge blow to War Dog's game. So I think they could be building some trust there. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, this is really random, but I was looking at Wikipedia today.
Okay.
Can I ask you who you would say came in 18th place this season?
Who came in 18th place this season? I would say it was Keith.
Why do you say that?
Because he has went out of the game and he got voted up prior to Wendy.
Okay. So yeah, that is how Wikipedia had it. But I think, I assume they made the same decision that, like, tie goes to the person who lasted in the game longer.
Yeah.
But I feel like they seem to very purposefully raise the sail together. I think they should have been tied for 18th place.
It was tied for 17th place.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
No, it would be 18, 18, 16.
Is that how it would go, Jordan?
Yeah.
I think it would go 17, 17.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but in my world,
millennial judge has ruled.
You're both losers. I get what you're saying, because usually you do it from the top, so it'd be like 1-1-3.
17 and a half place.
Okay.
No. It's first loser.
I, I agree with the Wikipedia method, though. I think that the person voted out first, if they quit together, is last place. Also, Wendy's just better TV, so she deserves 17.
And then will we then have a tie for everybody that does not get back in from the edge of extinction? Would they all then be tied for 7th place now? We'll have, like, 10 people tied for 7th place?
Yes.
I think that's why you have to do it the Wikipedia way, because that would just get so confusing. How am I supposed to write trivia questions in the future about, like, player placement if they're all in the same spot?
Okay. It's all part of my plot to end Twist.
All right. We're going to talk about the Survivor social media first, but we have a little bit of an interesting intro. So Jacob Seeger Weinstein, who has been recording these intros for us all season long, I guess he was traveling or was busy this week, and so he ended up making up three different intros based on his predictions for the episode. And so I'm not really sure which one is going to be the most appropriate. So
let's Rupert Tweets of intros.
Yes. Let's listen to all three. Here was version number one.
Tweets, baby, tweets, they're in a psychic mood. The tweets predict green daily. Said dude, tweets.
She did not.
She didn't say anything.
Yeah.
The one time we have live know-it-alls, she didn't say anything.
Okay. All right. Here was prediction number two.
Tweets, baby, tweets, they have a psychic impression. The tweets predict that someone got a tearful confession. Tweets.
Yeah, we saw some tearful confession, so we'll give that one.
I thought he said a cheerful confession.
Tearful.
Okay.
Tearful.
I feel like you get cheerful and tearful confessions in most Survivor episodes, so that's a pretty safe prediction.
Okay, and then this was prediction number three.
Tweets, baby, tweets, they'll take a big swing. The tweets predict that Aubrey's gonna win this whole thing.
And that one we don't know for a couple of weeks.
We don't know yet.
Okay. All right.
I'd be shocked. I mean, look, I love Aubrey, but I would be shocked at this point if she's out of the game for this long and wins.
Okay.
Wait, I have to say, we just gave the best suggestion for a wand off this week. Purple ream, purple ream.
Okay, it's still time. It's still time. One of the beauties of having a twist so early in the week. Now,
yeah, the one time, like, Aaron Robertson and I wrote a purple rain wand off once, and Rob didn't put it in the top five. So we have smoke, Rob.
Okay. All right. Well,
do better.
Keep us posted on that, young Rick Devens. So let's talk about our social media from this week. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to have Allie with us here on Twist this season was because this is where we're doing the social media. But when I reached out to Allie Lasher to book her for this podcast, she was very offended that she felt like that this has a downgrade from the last time we spoke, which was on the Survivor Feedback show. But I said that, look, we need to have you here because this is where we do the social media.
No, honestly, I'm becoming a big fan of this podcast, so I no longer think it's a downgrade.
Thank
I just,
you.
Again, just thought it was, look, it's on me. It's just like the Devons. It's on me. I don't like to be quizzed on stuff I'm not good at. So
okay,
it's,
well, don't worry about the
me.
Quiz. Don't worry about the quiz, okay?
I'll never do this again, though. This is a one-time-only
okay, well,
situation.
Maybe we'll have exit interviews next season, and we won't have this issue, but or this twishue. So let's go ahead and let's talk about the social media, and just like
well,
we did last
point
season.
Of saying that? Just to, like, say that I was upset? Like,
no, I wanted to say that because this is why, that this was the appeal to me of getting you here on this podcast, was so that we could do the social media, because it was such a big hit last time that you were on, because what we did that time was I turned over the entire social media to Allie Lasher, and we have done that again today. So I do not have the social media. I did not follow it closely, mostly because I was trying to avoid Amazing Race spoilers on Wednesday night, where I did not want to get spoiled on the results of the Reality Star Amazing Race. So I do not know what was tweeted. Allie Lasher has everything, and I turn over the entire social media segment to Allie Lasher.
I want that edited to just Allie Lasher has everything. I want that sound drop. And then I also want edited out of I turn over the segment to Allie Lasher. Get rid of the social media now. I own RHAP.
Okay.
AHAP.
Okay.
Thank you to Alex Rubino. Again, you run a very professional operation here, Rob. I was very impressed with your staff. Alex was great.
Thank you.
Very helpful. And all the patrons, I also went through the patron thread, and people had some more stuff to add. So this was a pleasure.
Good.
I didn't have to do anything.
Good. I'm glad.
Also, I too watched The Amazing Race for the first time maybe since I was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma's been a long time Amazing Race fan, but I kind of fell off anyway.
Yeah. I don't know when I'll have the opportunity to talk about it because Jessica Lease and Mike Bloom had our recap and Taryn Armstrong had the exit interview this week. But I just want to say that there were two moments that I burst out laughing. I watched it on the plane and I burst out laughing when I saw Brett LaBelle and what happened with him. And then when Rupert came out in the unitard. I just burst out. This is like people were staring at me on the airplane.
Want to hear a hot take? Rupert didn't look bad in the unitard.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, maybe it was just what I was expecting.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like Spanx, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. People who were watching with me were like, is that how Corinne really is? Just like, oh, keep watching. Okay. Let's get into the social media. We're going to start off with Aurora. I loved this tweet when I saw it. So Aurora tweeted out a screen cap of a news article from her hometown. She said, ouch, even my hometown news wants me out. So badly they announced I was voted out. Wait, what? Shrug emoji. And the headline is, update, Pensacola woman almost voted off Survivor. I don't know if they originally wrote Pensacola woman voted off and then they had to update it. But that's maybe Julie's the EIC of that publication.
It was a typo. They had some breaking news. Dun, 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 dun.
This sucks.
Didn't that sound drop there, didn't that remind you of something they would do on Big Brother? That was so not a Survivor thing, but I still loved it.
Getting a little Big Brother-y in here.
Yeah. Ron Clark said, at Stephen Fishback, a fishy, my life is complete. So, spoiler alert there. The fishy will come up fishies. Later, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I forgot to ask Stephen during the live show. So Ron got the fishy for voting at Kelly Wentworth?
I had an argument with Steven outside of the know-it-alls because I was very anti-Rob's move. As Allie said she was earlier in this podcast, I think, first of all, it potentially he loses trust with his closest ally, and he could have set up a big fight in the next episode between Kelly and War Dog, which would have been amazing and such a smokescreen for him. I really disagree with Steven here.
Steven Fishback is really becoming the voice of, like, old guy Survivor of, like, nobody make a move! Nobody make a move! Just stick with your numbers! That's it!
Ron did make a move.
Well, so but Steven was killing War Dog for making a move.
I was reading Steven's blog, so he still got the click, but I stopped reading it after I saw that he doesn't highlight know-it-alls in his bio, only Paraphrase podcast, so had to delete. He's the host of the podcast Paraphrase. Where's know-it-all? I'm looking under my computer. Know-it-all's nowhere to be found here.
Well, maybe the plug for know-it-alls comes on the Paraphrase podcast.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the people who listen to Paraphrase are the know-it-alls listeners.
Oh, to be clear, War Dog got a fishy for the first half, and Ron got a fishy for the second half.
Okay. All right. There you go.
So I gave Steven two clicks. You're welcome. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait, he wrote two different blogs for the two tribal councils?
No. Just I looked at it earlier, closed it over the know-it-alls, and then just now pulled it up again.
Okay.
War Dog tweeted a lot of things I don't understand, but I feel like there's an audience for them, so let's just run through them. He said, the War Dog is the Doc Holliday of Lesu, always guns blazing. Then he tweeted, when they ask which house do you serve, War Dog firmly responds, the War Dog doesn't serve any house, the War Dog serves the realm. And then he, I imagine, photoshopped himself into a picture from what he's referencing.
Wait, War Dog is Varys in this?
What is he referencing?
He's talking about Game of Thrones, but I would not say that if I was going to... Josh and I had joked on the Wiggle Room recently about matching up Game of Thrones characters to the Edge of Extinction characters, but I would not have gone with Varys for War Dog.
Well, maybe that's why War Dog couldn't throw the balls, because he doesn't have a lot of ball
experience. Easy. Come on. That's a yellow card for you, D-Schoolish.
I can't make eunuch jokes?
Yes. No eunuch jokes here.
Because I watched Game of Thrones for the first time on Sunday, and now I know who you're talking about, but I didn't know that guy by name.
Yeah, War Dog serves the realm.
Wait, did you start watching on Sunday with the first episode of this season, or did you start with the premiere of the series premiere?
Yeah, I went back 6 seasons of Game of Thrones. It's our 7th season. It started with the beginning. No, I just watched the last episode. I got like a 3-second synopsis, and I got it enough.
You got it. You're not lost.
Yeah. But I don't understand War Dog's tweets, but I understood the episode.
Yeah. Okay, so that Ali has sent me a screenshot of, yeah, so this is like a photoshopped War Dog's head on Varys's body.
Now, it makes sense because War Dog is probably approaching finals at law school as I am, so you never have more time than then to Photoshop yourself onto various images. Yes. So I can relate Varys to that. Images.
And this is like a day one War Dog with a completely bald head a la Varys. And that might be the only comparison that we can have between Varys and War Dog.
That you know about. Okay.
Yes.
So then he tweeted,
Varys goes by the spider. So they both have animal nicknames.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if a spider is an animal, though.
It's an animal. Rob, where do you learn about animals?
Spider is an animal? Allie, can I get a ruling on this, millennial judge?
Let's see. Is spider an animal?
It's not a mammal, but it's an animal.
I would say it's an insect. Are insects animals? Yes.
Of course they're animals. They're in the animal kingdom.
They're not. Yes. Insect is not an animal.
Rob, you're going to get so much heat from this on Twitter. I'm 100% right.
It's an insect.
Please allow me
mammals,
to make
insects.
My ruling.
Yeah.
They're
okay.
Actually arachnids. Are arachnids insects? What are arachnids?
Yes. I am on Kid Zone, and it says spiders belong to a group of animals called arachnids.
What?
Scorpions, mites, and ticks
change
are
that
also
ruling.
Part of the arachnid family. All right. This
a
is going to be
a hot dog
new,
is
like,
a sandwich before a spider is an animal.
This is false. The new like anti-vax, false. Like Rob doesn't teach his kids that spiders are animals, like intervene.
No.
All right. Ask Dominic. I bet Dominic knows the answer to this.
Dominic!
I'll get him. I'll ask him later.
Then he tweeted, I think the War Dog has been canceled on Instagram. Teeny Boppers not having it. Let's not address Teeny Boppers at all, War Dog. That would just be amazing. Then he said,
yeah, well, if you vote out returning players, that you do have to deal with the stands on Instagram.
The War Dog's April 18th social media recap Twitter, : we love the War Dog. We have been on this train since episode 1. War God for the win. Reddit. We hated the War Dog at first, but wow, even though he still irks us at times, he's amazing and we've changed our mind. Instagram. Die. Now, no one on Reddit has ever spoken like that. Like, oh, I'm going to be reasonable. Like, we hated you at first, but now, even though you're slightly annoying, you're great. Nobody has ever said that in the history of Reddit.
So I feel like that the people that have turned around on War Dog have turned around on his social media more so than his gameplay. I feel like that people felt like that he was really OTT on social media when he was blocking people. But now I think that they have come to embrace him in terms of social media, maybe more so than the gameplay.
Do you stand a war god?
I'm not okay with War Dog changing its name to War God.
Well, apparently that's what Twitter said. You know, he didn't do it. It's not a Devin situation. He didn't make up his own nickname. That's what Twitter assigned to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, the OG Manu tribe is one of the best collections of characters and TV gold, let's say, that Survivor CBS has had. One starting tribe. If you at me, I'll block you. Ask Chrissy.
Chrissy is still blocked.
At this hour, Chrissy is still blocked. We need a block watch.
Block watch. Block watch would be a great segment.
Yeah, you could have Brian host it. Brian's been blocked by Carb Maria, longtime challenge fan, contestant for a long time.
Hey, look, Carb Maria is into a lot of kinky stuff, but one thing she is not into is tweets from Brian Cohen.
Okay, that's amazing. So now I'll have to tell Brian to listen to this podcast. Angelina said, Kelly Wentworth is still and will always be one of my hashtag Survivor idols, and she could still get back in the game. Fingers crossed.
Okay.
If only Kelly used one of her Survivor idols, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Boom, roasted.
Davey Rickenbacker said, the great Davey Rickenbacker said, I left my bag at the airport because I didn't want to be late for work. Lol. Hopefully I can retrieve it. No problem. Or somebody about to have a killer wardrobe for the summer.
Yes. Davey was hosting the Survivor CBS Instagram during the Live Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night.
I saw that, and what I need to know, that was incredible. What I needed to know is the microphone wasn't connected to anything,
no,
right?
No, it was a prop microphone. So I felt like that Davey, you know, did a great job, but I felt like that if you were coming in like Ali Lasher into the season premiere of season 8 of Game of Thrones, not knowing what was going on, that what did people think that Davey was going to or was at? Because I feel like that without any context of that there was a Live Know-It-Alls happening in Philadelphia, like I kind of feel like that I would be very confused as a Survivor casual.
I think that's fair. My question is, like, did Survivor say he couldn't plug the, like, why didn't he give you a plug?
I don't think so. Yeah, that's a good question. That is a great question, Allie.
Let's get to the bottom of it. T-Bird needs to get on this. I feel like this is a great job for her to get to the, and she'll sugarcoat it for you, which will be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagined, so I was at the first ever Know-It-Alls in New York, which was like in the basement with like about 25 people. Parvati was there and like left early. I would like to have David going around with a microphone at that event. I think that would have been amazing.
Because I think the people that were watching, like, oh wait, can I go to a movie theater and watch the Survivor? Where did all these people come from?
I think it was clear that it was like a big watch event. Maybe they thought it was like a CBS event, because then he has the thing where you, the very meta moment where you mention him on the podcast, and then it's in the footage. So maybe they just thought it was like a kooky CBS event.
Maybe.
But I think he should have thrown you a bone, given you a tag. It
wouldn't have killed anybody. Yeah.
Would, yeah, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Could have, you know, talked to us.
Maybe he lost his luggage as a karma. But that fire summer wardrobe, I almost drove right to the airport when I saw this to get the luggage.
Yeah, I actually, when I was getting on my plane to come home from Philadelphia, I was trying to like download the Amazing Race episode, and I was trying to get everything together to get on the plane. And as I was boarding, a woman came up to me and was like, "Sir, is this your phone?" And I was like, "Oh my God, thank you!" And then I almost left my phone at the Philadelphia airport.
Wow, what a tragedy.
What a disaster. What a disaster.
The thing with Davey here is, like, he's so chill. Like, leaves his job. Everything just works out for him. Leaves his job, goes to Survivor, comes back, gets the job. Like, goes on Survivor, gets the CM money. Who just leaves their luggage, like, books their flight so close that he leaves his luggage at the airport? I'll get that later. Gotta go to work. Someone steals it.
Well,
whatever.
I thought he was joking
that
he forgot his luggage at the airport.
No, he left his bag at the airport because he didn't want to be late for work, and he's going to go back and get it.
Okay, so Davey is going to...
And I'm like, hold on, pump the brakes.
It's very Seinfeld, where he's just like, even Steven.
So he'll just find another suitcase somewhere else?
Yeah, he'll come back and get it. That'll just work out. Things don't just like work out for me like that. Like, if I left my luggage somewhere for 30 seconds, it would be like exploded by the bomb squad. Like, sorry, you left your luggage unattended. Here's like some shards of your clothing.
Was War Dog even Steven when he got a fishy for the first tribal council and then got chastised by Steven for the second tribal council?
Well, according to War Dog, he's got quite a collection of fishies, doesn't seem fazed at all by the criticism. We'll get to that a little later. Christian, the original commentator during the challenge, said, I would be stunned if Aurora stays after that. Ron keeps Wentworth in the game, but War Dog just, in asterisks, voted for her. Split up the three. Keeps advantage. Hashtag Survivor. Next tweet. I am stunned. Carl got a shout out on Live Know-It-Alls, the Godfather.
Yeah.
Is he Papacy? We have Mamacy. Is he Papacy?
Did he give himself the name Papacy, or are you anointing him Papacy?
I don't know. My friend could probably ask him if he's Mama sees mom. Anyway, that was before the podcast. Shout out to Molly Black. Yeah.
Well, let me just say that. So you said that. Oh, I told you I was having Mama C on the podcast on Monday night, and you said that you attended the Worlds Apart finale, and that you have a friend, not Missy, who asked Mama C's husband if he was Mama C's dad.
Yes.
No, baby.
I've told this on the podcast before, but yeah, it was on the bus, like for the busing the family and friends to the event. And, you know, he looks nothing. It would be impossible for him to be her father, but it was so funny. So maybe Papa C, we need a Papa C.
Yeah. Okay.
He said, second person to go with an idol. What the hell is going on, Survivor? Like, really?
So, yeah. He's in
Master
disbelief.
Master of gameplay. Master of gameplay, Papa C.
Cebu.
We have a nice selection of tweets from Lyrsa, who got probably one of your favorite Twitter handles ever, just at Lyrsa.
Yeah, that's a good
there
one.
There you go.
Yeah, she's a real Kurt Clark.
She says, Devins, toss me one of your balls. Yes, another balls challenge. Hashtag, does Jeff know I love these?
Yeah. We talked about that on the podcast, that one of her big regrets on Survivor was that she did not get to be in a challenge where Jeff could have talked about her balls.
How do we get that into her next Survivor tattoo?
I'm talking about balls. Weren't you hit with a few ping pong balls at the Know-It-Alls after party?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think ping pong is not a great idea for a place where people are consuming alcohol.
It was fun though. I had fun playing ping pong.
All right.
First time I ever played sports at a Know-It-Alls after party.
While we continue to talk about inside jokes that nobody had access to besides the two of you,
hundreds of people were in that bar.
My question, Rob, is when have you been in a situation where people have played ping pong in a place where there isn't alcohol? I feel like
ping
pong.
Yeah. Okay.
Parents' basements and bars. That's the only place I've encountered ping pong tables.
Let's ask Yao Man.
To be fair, it's only Rob's second worst take of the podcast. The first being that spiders are not animals.
Was that a take? I feel like that was a question.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can we get back to Allie talking about the social media?
Also want Fine. That sound drop. Just can we get back to Allie? I'll play that on my own podcast anytime Brian says something. All right. So Lyrsa said, Devins with his second ball out there. Hashtag balls. Hashtag survivor. Hashtag loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Next tweet. Ron has his second ball. Hashtag survivor. Hashtag so many balls. And then the last, she said, Devins has two balls in the run. Hashtag please give me more. Hashtag go balls. Hashtag survivor. Hashtag love balls challenges. Hashtag so many balls. Hashtag balls.
Okay. We got to get Lyrsa on the podcast just on speed dial anytime that they have a balls challenge. She's so into it.
Get her in there.
Okay.
Dr. Mike, speaking of balls, he said,
knock, knock.
Pilot a passenger or I'll take guy with a parachute for the win. Hashtag survivor. Not bad.
Never jump out of a plane without a parachute. That's what I tell everybody. Unless you had a vasectomy.
Me. Dr. Mike. I'm not bad. Come on, that's not bad.
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
All right, Joe Mina said Desi defended Joe Mina, or the I meant like that as a name. Anyway,
right? Because I had asked Alexis Maxwell and Desi from Survivor HHH, and I said, "Is War Dog Tony?" I said, "Is War Dog Joe Mina?" She said, "No, Joe Mina is better than War Dog." Desi said.
So Joe Mina says, "Imagine this season without Reem or Rick." Laugh cry emoji. Team, hashtag TV, hashtag survivor. Now, that to me does not sound like a man who doesn't want to be compared to other people. I mean, he's using Team TV.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Is he aware that that was Tony's original hashtag?
What an amazing big time to repurpose somebody else's hashtag that you've been compared to just be like, oh, I don't know her. I don't know that hashtag.
Dude, I love Joe Mena. So happy he's not lame.
I need somebody to translate this. I don't speak Cole Metters, apparently. Mm. He said, me and Rimmer went 35 minutes on the air squat challenge. There is definitely an easy trick to that one. Hashtag survivor.
So that was the challenge I loved how Jeff set this up, because I feel like that I don't know if this was intentional or not, but this was Jeff explaining the rules to that challenge.
If you go too low, your flag will pop. If you go too high, your urn will drop.
Now, because then I said, oh, that's interesting. But then Jeff said it a second time later on in the challenge the same way.
If you try to get a little relief by going a little lower, that flag will pop. If you go a little higher, that urn will drop.
Allie, do you like Jeff incorporating rhymes into explaining the rules of the challenge?
Yeah, that's very Dr. Seuss. Like, isn't there like a Hop on Pop book or something?
Hop on Pop, yeah. If you go too low, your flag or your urn will drop. If you go too high, your flag will pop.
Yeah, I like
it's like a Chris Noble rap.
Put the pen down, Jeff. Yeah. So, yeah, Cole Metters is saying him and Lauren Rimmer, they both went 35 minutes on that challenge.
But what's the trick? What's the easy trick? Hmm. This challenge looks hard.
There's just one simple trick to being able to do the pop or drop challenge. Click on this link and watch this video to find out.
All right, let's get to your future guest, Hannah Shapiro, Hannah Lil Nessun. She says, catching up on hashtag survivor. I feel like I'm telling on her by telling you this, but she said, catching up on hashtag survivor before hashtag rap 5-timer club this Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm the tiniest couple of handful of hours behind, but I'll get there, Rob. I promise. Can I do it in one afternoon?
You want to be on the podcast how many more times?
No.
She wants to do what all in one afternoon?
She's behind on Survivor, and she then was watching all of the episodes that she hasn't watched and prepare for yours, which I famously did for Big Brother. I watched 11 episodes in one day to then talk about the recap of the recap. It was like the biggest waste of time of my life.
Yeah, because the recap is going to tell you everything already.
And that's saying something, because I've wasted a lot of time in my life.
Yeah, you go into Game of Thrones blind, but you have to watch 11 episodes of Big Brother to catch up for the recap.
Well, what am I going to do? I mean, that's happened to you before, right? Where somebody shows up back in the day and they hadn't watched the episode.
More than once.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm barely invited on. You think I'm cocky enough to show up and be like, hey, I didn't really watch this week, but what do you want to know about my life? Please.
Dude,
I know where I stand.
I didn't even watch the show. Don't call me.
I'm bumped to Twist. If I do that, I'm going to get bumped off Twist.
Yeah. Twist is hot now. You got bumped up to Twist.
You're like Devin's. Twist is hot. You know, self-promotion over here. I respect
That's
it.
That's
why
he's the young Rick Devin.
Yeah. So then she wrote,
I think there's more similarities in personality between me and Devin's than there are in looks. It's the personality, the glasses, and the dad bod.
That's even worse.
I disagree.
The personality. You're talking to someone who hates Devin's and they're like, oh, but I really share a personality with him. Wow, I guess I know where I stand with
Mr.
Kalish.
You're one person. The majority of the people who listen to this podcast are the Devin stans.
Right, because they listen to you. That makes sense. Kirsten McInnes, also a known, I don't want to take all the credit, known Rick unstan.
Yes. What,
an Eminem.
Have you guys talked about this? Are you guys on the same page? Or does she have an entirely different set of reasons why she doesn't like him?
I don't know. We just acknowledge each other on Twitter that we feel the same way.
She's anti-local news.
World to come around.
Yeah.
We were both upset that he got voted out so that people didn't get to come around on him. And maybe that's part of it, is that once he got voted out, I think I like him a little better since he's been voted out, but we'll see.
I think you're getting
played.
So
back to Lil Nessun. She said, me, I can't catch up. I'm going to fall into a survivor coma. Them. Do it for Sierra.
I love coma.
That was like a Bill Clinton more than a Ron Clark on that one.
I love Palmer.
I also think your Ron didn't get enough. When you did the Ron impression on Know It Alls, I thought it was great, and it kind of got nothing from the audience.
Sometimes that the people are just laughing so much that they need a break. They're too tired from laughing.
The millennial judge has spoken. It's a good impression.
Thank you.
Then I won some. why did I do this? I was on the B&B and I just clinked two wine glasses together as a noise. That really should be my gavel. Mm-hmm. It's just a clink. I don't have anything accessible to me.
A lot
anyway.
Of people do that of like double fisting wine and then give themselves cheers.
Edge of Extinction people, we are bored. We are tired. Producers, here are crayons and a map and a little silly putty we found at the hotel. Edge of Extinction people, we're back in this, baby. Smirk emoji, hashtag survivor. I love that tweet.
Who is this?
Hannah.
Hannah, yes.
That was a great tweet. And then you should ask her about this tweet. I am always conscious that I'm being recorded. I had to censor this tweet. I'm not reading it, but I'll send it to you and you can talk to her about it on the podcast.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Very excited for Hannah to be on the podcast because she is a really great guest. She's very excited to do the podcast. So really looking forward to catching up with Hannah this weekend.
As am I. I'm looking forward to you catching up
with
Hannah.
And I told my kids, I told Dominic that Hannah is coming in to do the podcast on Saturday. He's like, Dad, is that the one that spilled the coffee? Yes.
The shade.
That's how she's known actually at my house. The girl who spilled the coffee.
There you go. All
does
right.
Nicole know about this? Does she know that Hannah's coming?
She knows. She knows.
Is Hannah
she's not
banned?
Banned from the house?
She's not banned. No, she's been back since then.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah,
just that's no good. No open beverages.
No beverages.
Just have a lid on everything.
So Brett LaBelle, he said, OMG, just watching Survivor now, .. Well, you know why, .. So you're telling me, .. Survivor sat out a challenge for that shitty pizza? Hashtag losers. A huge mistake.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have Brett LaBelle to go over the pizza. And then I realized like, oh yeah, and also David Reich got voted out. But really, the only reason I was like, oh, Brett, we need Brett LaBelle there because they talked about the pizza.
But don't you think Brett LaBelle would have sat out for the beer? Because it was also unlimited beer.
Hmm.
He doesn't have to eat the pizza.
That's true. Allie, do you think that Brett LaBelle would have been able to scale a mountain of pizza?
I was very impressed with Brett LaBelle's ability to scale a mountain. Maybe it was so good he had to do it twice.
Yeah.
That was amazing. So then Brett says, yeah, I don't want to live in a world where David goes home and Wart D-Face stays in the game.
Wart D-Face?
Well, I had to censor it a little. And then he says, oh, sorry, I meant Warthog D-Face at Johnny Fairplay. Make a shirt.
Warthog D-Face? What is a D-Face?
Well, I'm censoring it.
So what? But what are you censoring? Can you?
You don't know the D word.
Okay. I thought you were giving me an emoji because usually when you are describing an emoji, no. I thought D face was one of the emojis, and I'm
it
familiar with Mike White's movie works, but I don't remember the D face.
Maybe that's what I'm going to start calling the poop emoji.
I thought that's like the response of like you get texted the eggplant and then you write back the D face.
So then he said, War Douche needs to go home. And then he said, horrible Survivor season. Watch Amazing Race instead. Which I don't feel like is what the goal of the crossover was.
Was that what CBS publicity asked the Amazing Race contestants to tweet out?
And then he said, I was drunk. I'm now rooting for my boy, Rick Devins.
Okay.
We have some Figgy tweets.
Ooh.
I also have to censor her.
Okay.
First, she said, I am literally sweating, hashtag survivor.
Mm-hmm.
That's an anytime tweet. I thought that was Eric Stein tweets at first when I saw Alex sent me this.
She's not clammy.
And then she just tweeted the F word in all caps, hashtag survivor.
Oh, she must be a big David Wright fan.
There you go.
Or maybe a Wentworth
Kelly,
fan.
Who knows when that was tweeted, yeah.
Yeah.
Darnell, who...
King Darnell.
Yeah, I died when you asked if he swallowed Scott Pollard. Oh. I'm not even convinced that was Darnell.
Darnell got really huge. Like, Darnell is looking great.
Yeah. He might get drafted. Like, we have the NFL draft coming up. He could be a first rounder. Like, he was enormous. Mm-hmm.
Darnell has been doing Beachbody on demand.
Yeah.
Maybe in your garage. You don't even know. He's just been in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just I asked him about if David Wright's metaphor from the week before was a good one. That I felt bad that Darnell, like, he couldn't breathe. He couldn't get out a response.
He tweeted, "I said it and I meant it. These newbies are actually playing out there."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just doesn't like the ones that gave up.
This I loved. Stephen Fishback tweeted, "OMG, butterfly of death, hashtag survivor," and then wrote, "Fishy for the butterfly, hashtag survivor."
Yeah. And not a Big Brother Canada 6 reference.
Tyler, I thought it was a Pauly reference.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I forgot about Pauly Calafiore and the butterflies, where they make him cry when he saw the butterflies. I don't know if I still have that on the old soundboard, but yeah, Pauly Calafiore got very sad when he saw the butterfly.
Well, War Dog actually had reason to cry about the butterfly. Tyler Fredrickson, on the same vein, said, "Watching a butterfly take out War Dog in a challenge is the most War Dog in a challenge thing I could possibly think of." And then I would be remiss if I did not include a tweet from the great farm guy 69, Dale Wentworth, yes, who said, who says he's confused in this tweet, and he is quite confused. He said, "So David gave Devins the advantage from Edge of Extinction. After Devins refused to work with him, they refused to reunite their shared idol. I'm confused." You're confused. They did reunite their shared idol.
Did he miss did farm guy 69 miss an episode last week?
Not great.
Look, a lot of stuff happens on this season, and maybe Farm Guy 69 was going to the bathroom during that moment.
Can I float something by you? I should have brought up. Yeah, exactly. like a Devin's in the water, like a poop.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather fight one giant butterfly, or would you rather never keep your relationship the same with butterflies for the rest of your life?
I think you're combining two different questions.
Sorry, go ahead, Allie.
David giving it to Devins, I understand why he gave it to Devins. Like, he wants him in the game if he comes back in, and maybe he's not so worried about any of the challenge threats, but I feel like he should have given it to Aurora, because I feel like the only strategy you can have of giving an advantage to someone back in the game is to keep somebody who could possibly beat you from joining you on Extinction Island.
Interesting. But you think that David Wright would be concerned with Aurora, where, you know, he's already there with, you know, they already got Chris, they already have Eric, you already have Joe. He's worried about Aurora coming back and keeping him from coming back into the game?
Only because, and this is why I would say, like, oh, well, Devins won the last one, so maybe you don't want him in. But I think anything Devins would be good at, the people already on the island would be good at. Aurora has proven that she's won a lot of these, like, battle of wills, balance tests. So you don't know what the elimination is going to, what the challenge is going to be. And I think Aurora has a set of skills that is not present on Extinction. Now, it's unlikely that it, I mean, we know, we've seen part of it. I think it's unlikely that it would be something like that. But, you know, I don't think Devin staying in the game really gives you that much when you come back at 5. So that's the only thing I could think about that would be of any use.
The only thing that I could think of is that David Wright is looking at, okay, if I get back in the game at 6, and then I need to survive a vote. And so let me make sure that Devin's is hopefully still there, so that, you know, then I only need to get like one or two more people on board. But I kind of feel like that if Devin's is still there at 6 or at 5, I don't know if David Wright can beat him in the end.
I was thinking that too, but also, like, if David comes in and it's 4 whoever strong, if he comes in at 5 or 6, he has the perfect thing to be like, look, I'm a returning player who has been voted out the last month of the game, or the last 2 weeks of the game, a week of the game, whatever. I'm not winning this, you know? Like, I'm the perfect GOAT. And I think that's a better case than, like, I'm fortified by Devins and we just need to flip one person.
I really think it came down to that Rick Devins gave him the immunity idol last time, and then he wanted to pay him back for that. He had the opportunity to give the advantage to somebody, and maybe Rick Devins would have been more pissed if David Wright didn't give it to him.
Also, talk about being overproduced. Like, David losing his mind about that advantage. I mean, like, that was nothing.
Yeah. Well, he was losing his mind, I think, before he really got to see what it was.
No, you know? He saw it and he was like, this is it. This is such a huge thing. Like, yeah, whatever. Good for them. The great Alexis Maxwell.
Yes. She was so excited to be there with us in Philadelphia.
It was great. She said, also watching the show live in a room full of people is definitely the way to do this. Haha, love it. Hashtag Survivor. Then she said, David is so tiny, but how does he do this? Hashtag Survivor.
How does he do what?
Unclear. Mm-hmm. I don't get the timestamps.
Yeah.
I like how Ron says war dog. Hashtag Survivor. And then this is my favorite tweet, maybe of the week. There he goes in those thin little undies. Hashtag Survivor.
Mm.
Could be anyone.
Could be anybody. I mean, I assume that it was Chris, but maybe it was David Wright.
I thought it was David Wright.
Hmm. David Wright has thin undies.
He has thin little undies.
Hmm. Okay. We'll go with that. Sure.
Like Hannah Lil Nessin.
I'm gonna break the tie here. I think it had to have been Chris.
Chris didn't do anything all season. In this episode,
he's still on the screen.
To break the tie. This is clearly about David. She's David, so tiny, yeah. His thin little undies.
Millennial judges rule, Jordan. You're overruled.
Okay.
Clink.
Clink.
Look, I've said multiple times on this podcast, I'm a terrible millennial, so I guess I'm allowed to be overruled by the millennial judge.
Yeah. Thank you for the permission to overrule you. I need no permission. Okay. Bryce Isaiah. Now, this might be the D-face emoji that he used here because I didn't know exactly what to do. He said, now y'all know I'm hot, right? Cursing. Red angry face with the bleep, the curse in front of it. Maybe that's the D-face emoji.
Let's take a look at it.
Censored.
Let me open up Bryce's Twitter and see if I can see what the D-face...
Here, I'll just send it to you.
Send me a picture of what the D face emoji is, not the D's face emoji.
Here, I'm doing a grab. I don't even have it in my my iMessage.
Yeah, what do you type in to bring it up?
Yeah, Bryce has his own emojis. He has his own set. Mm.
So while Rob looks at that,
This is like a angry red face with like a black sensor bar over its mouth.
I believe that's exactly what I described it as.
Well, that would not be the D face in my mind.
It's right. I feel like it works.
Okay.
It's censored.
By the way, I'm looking at a picture that Bryce Isaiah retweeted. It's actually one of David Bloomberg's tweets where it's Wendell, you, and Steven sitting at the table, and Wendell's wearing the Phillies hat. You're like a Phillies jersey away from it being like Wendell signing with the Phillies. Like, Steven's the GM. You're the coach. It looked, and I remember thinking that when you guys were on the stage. It looked just like that. Okay.
Big free agent signing of Wendell.
Yeah, but then also you also have Sharia and Bryce on the edge of the picture where Sharia is sitting there and Bryce is there wearing a purple crown, so it sort of ruins the illusion.
Maybe she's like his wife that's there up on stage.
That could, yeah,
his family.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then Bryce
his
is
agent.
Just, you know, there's always the guy, yeah, the agent in the purple crown and sunglasses at these press conferences.
Allie is going to shut down this sports talk in about 1 second, okay?
She
was distracted. She's looking for
text.
Emojis.
Okay. No, I'm just going about my life. Carry on. We ready?
Okay. Ready.
So Rupert tweeted from Rupert's kids. whoever's doing Block Watch should also be watching Rupert's account. That got
is Rupert
hacked.
Blocking people?
No, but I think we should just keep an eye on Rupert's main account that is still not been freed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, he's officially off Rupert Boneham.
He still has a pinned tweet on Rupert's kids begging Twitter to release it.
Yes. Well, without getting into spoilers from The Amazing Race, when Rupert and Laura were wandering around the park aimlessly for 2.5 hours, they said, you know, this is a man who can't find his Twitter password. This makes sense. Story checks out.
It must be around here somewhere. It can't just be nowhere. We'll find it eventually.
I think what happened is Laura actually has it, but he won't listen to her. So Rupert says, I'm watching hashtag Survivor. This really hurts my voice. Thinking about Amazing Race. This is a weird feeling. I hope you watch hashtag Team Tie-Dye. For how deep my normal voice is, I can't get that low.
Yeah.
Hell, your Dr. Mike is much better than your Rupert.
All right, then I'll do a Dr. Mike here for Rupert.
Yeah.
It's amazing how... No, I can't do it because I'm not in Dr. Mike.
Now you lost it.
I need Dr. Mike's real words. It's Dr. Mike. It's amazing how much rice they get. No, I can't do it. It's amazing how much rice they get. One of their portions is what our entire tribe ate for a meal. They don't lose like weight like we did. I lost 65 pounds on All-Stars in 37 days. That's right after I lost 52 pounds at Pearl Island. That's why he looks so good in the bodysuit.
Yeah.
Wonder what I would lose today.
Okay. So, Allie, I would like to give you a recent Rupert's Kids retweet, but I would like to do this as the Norwegian Rupert Boneham? Yes.
No, it's Russell
Hans. I would like to give you this recent Rupert retweet as Rupert Boneham. And there's two dots over the O for
perfect. Umalot.
I've been looked out of my Rupert Boneham account because a former employee changed the login. If there is any way Twitter can help me regain this, I'd be grateful. I have thousands of Survivor fans I miss talking to.
I think we should both stick to Dr. Mike.
Hey, I'm locked out.
Knock, knock.
By the way, I told all of his jokes to my friend during the podcast. What was the Britney Spears joke? I forget it. Could you retell it?
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Who's there?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears who?
Oops, I did it again. I think I told it in the wrong order. It still stinks. Still stinks. No matter how what order you tell it.
All right, we have T-Bird. One of my most notoriously terrible impressions. I love T-Bird. Mm-hmm. She said, "I'm not even going to do the impression."
No, Starlight's- you have to. You have, we
no,
insist.
Do it. You have Star- to do it. You have to. So, do
wait,
it.
Can you do your T-Bird?
Oh, I'm so excited to be back here with the social media with @LashTweets and @JordanKalish, #Survivor, #Twiz, #ThisWeekInSurvivorHistory.
Starlight, Starbright, 10th castaway voted out tonight. I wish you may, I hope you might, get back into the fight, into fight the fight. Strong arm emoji, #, ain't over till it's over, @TheReamDaily, @C_Underwood, @AubreyBrocco, @JangLim21, @TheEricAveman, @TheJuliaCarter, you can do this, #Survivor, @JeffProbes.
B-face emoji.
Speaking God, angle Joe. Joey Amazing. I mean, no chance is Rodney going to be in his wedding party, right? Like, that was the most awkward part of Know It Alls. Oh, like, yeah, texting
yeah,
me.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be in there because I got the picture from Joe. He sent me the picture of the ring, so I'm pretty sure I'm locked in for being the usher.
He was like, I'm going to be in their wedding. I got the scoop of... He claimed he found out before he proposed, but found out because he got a picture of Sierra's hand with the ring on it. That I've never been proposed to, but I feel like that happens after the proposal. The ring goes on.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they did a dry run.
Yeah.
What are the chances you think he'll actually be at the wedding? Not in the wedding.
Very good. He'll be at the wedding.
Likely invitation. Yes.
I thought you were going to say, what are the chances you ever get proposed to? And I was going to be like, almost zero. T-Bird.
And what are the chances that Kevin Schleuber is going to be Rodney's date?
100%.
Yeah.
The Mafia.
Just on #CNN. Netflix stock falls amid slower user growth forecast. @RobSisterNino, I think you're awesome. #RHAP patrons have something to do with this. Just saying. Wink emoji, heart emoji.
Yeah, I need T-Bird to do the financial news. I think I would pay closer attention to like stocks and the S&P 500 if T-Bird was giving us like the Yahoo Finance news.
T-Bird was a great interviewer too. I loved when she was taking control of the podcast with oh god, what did she keep calling her?
Lady Di.
Lady Di, Lady Di, Lady Di. Lady Di. Love that.
Yeah. So
I ship Tuesdays with T-Bird.
Good. Good. All right. So what's next, Allie?
Here we go. We have your man, Rick Devins. Don't call him Kalish. Rick, don't call him Kalish. Kalish. Devins. Honestly, I kind of resent when people are cast on reality TV just because they are sex symbols, like Chris and Brett, hashtag Amazing Race. And Brett said, look who's talking, stud.
Mm-hmm.
The war dog then said, I've teased this before. He said, it's official. I need to change my Twitter bio from 3-time fishy winner to 4-time fishy winner. Damn, war dog, you got 4 fishies this season? Yes. Yes, he does.
Wow.
Weird way to like talk about yourself in the third person, but then say, yes, he does. Like, wouldn't it be yes? Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Who's he talking to? I'm confused.
Yeah, not grammatically correct. Steven might dock him a fishy.
Yeah, it should be, damn, war dog got 4 fishies. Yes, he did. Not, damn, you got them. Yes, he did. Very strange. Okay. Joe Mena then, not to be left out, says, F a fishy. No disrespect at Steven Fishback. I mean, could it be more disrespectful than starting a tweet with F a fishy? Anyway, F a fishy. No disrespect at Steven Fishback, but it's about the mill. LOL, get that Millie. Yeah, because Joe Mena knows what it is to get a Millie.
Mm-hmm.
Steven said, your priorities are all out of whack.
All right.
And
nothing personal.
Joe said, trust me, I know. I think pregame questions should now be, are you here for a title of Soul Survivor or for the fishies? Actually, he wrote, the fishes. As we all know, based on the past 3 seasons, no one is playing for the money anymore. It's all about the title and the fishies.
Yeah, probably secondary to the sea of money is all the fishies. But I do think a good interview question for the preseason. Would you rather be hated by America and win, or win all the fishies and lose?
I mean, both, please.
No, you have to pick one. Only get one.
Angelina tweeted a gif of Snow White guzzling coffee and said, good morning, sun emoji. Welcoming any and all tips for how to do this whole early riser thing. Christian Ubicki said, live under the constant fear someone will wake up and find the idol before you do. Probably not good for long-term mental health, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Angelina said, this is a pretty boring conversation. I don't know. I'm ready. Angelina said, also me every time I woke up on the island. Did you sleep with your glasses, Christian? And then she tweeted a gif of my glasses. I can't see without my glasses. And Christian said, I tried to delicately cradle them between my index finger and middle finger all night. Success was mixed.
Okay.
All right, let's wake everyone up with a Jervis tweet.
I'm Snow White guzzling coffee right now.
Yeah, he said, I love it when people sit out of challenges and eat. Enjoy, hashtag Survivor, and then tweeted a great moment of Getty image of Jervis, Tyson, and Sierra chowing down. And Laura Moret said, laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, at Sierra Easton sat out every chance there was food, and she still outlasted me. Sniffly emoji, laugh cry emoji.
Mm-hmm.
This killed me. Johnny Fairplay said, for the 100th episode of Survivor NSFW podcast.
Congratulations to Johnny Fairplay on 100 episodes.
Sure.
100 episodes and 6,000 t-shirts. What an accomplishment.
He said, Survivor only episode or Survivor and Amazing Race. And the war dog wrote, option C, put the show to bed after 99 painful episodes.
I had to listen to 99 episodes.
Ryan Ulrich said, he retweeted a news outlet headline that said Tiger Woods, red mock turtleneck popular with golf fans following Masters win. And he wrote, oh, now people like it?
Good.
Mike Holloway said, you wore it better. Kellen said, perfection, tilted laugh cry emoji. I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know you hate praise, so I deleted all of the many tweets the survivors talking about how amazing know-it-alls was, except for one person's interactions.
Yes. I don't know where this comes from that I hate praise. I just don't try to revel in it.
Well, when I'm like, oh, this was so great, or thank you so much for all the opportunities, you're like, oh, come on, come on. So
yeah, well, I don't want people to think I'm getting a big head. That's really what it comes down to.
Oh, I promote my large head.
What's better, a big head or a D face?
Easy, easy. All right, you already have that's the second yellow card for you.
Okay. I have two yellow cards. That's
young
a red.
Rick Devins. Yeah.
We don't
wouldn't
have to
that
do
be a twist?
Today.
That would be a twist if Kalish doesn't make it to the quiz and then I don't have to do
it. He's suspended for the rest of the episode.
Russell Swan tweeted a hilarious selfie of him with a bunch of you guys up on stage. Mm-hmm. And he said, bad picture, dream fulfilled, hashtag RHAP.
Oh, really? That was a dream of Russell Swan?
I don't know if it was a dream to take a picture with Wendell or to like be on RHAP, but either way.
I thought Russell Swan was really great on the live show. And I was really happy that he was so fun because the last interactions I had with Russell Swan, as far as the podcast was concerned, was sort of like coming out of Philippines. And, you know, he was really down about the whole experience. I remember he was like upset with Steven I think Steven kind of killed him in the people blog, and you know the survivors, they do follow that very closely, but Russell Swan was in such good spirits. He was the same guy that I remember talking to after Samoa.
I loved the Taylor Swift, like the old Russell can't come to the phone, he's dead, like he comes up, I died. I loved that. He also tweeted, I am exhausted. It is well worth it since I had the opportunity to kick it at the Philly Survivor Know-It-Alls with the best fans on the planet. Thanks to Bryce Isaiah and Wendell Holland for the amazing events. Mad love to Rob Cesternino and Steven Fishback for all that you do.
Oh, well, thank you, Russell Swan.
And then Rob Cesternino said, great seeing you again, Russ. You were bringing down the house.
Killed it.
And Russ said, thanks, homie. Love to you and your amazing family.
Yeah. Okay. Russell Swan. We're going to have to get him back in the mix for the recap.
Yeah, I would love that. I loved hearing from him.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah, he hasn't been he hasn't been downgraded to Twist yet.
I don't think he would know what it was.
You couldn't get Russell not. Swan. Yeah. Come on. He says, I have a game for you. It's, I was hoping we could do Rupert tweets. There were really only those two tweets and they were pretty obviously Rupert tweets, but I do have, Alexis Maxwell tweets, Northwestern edition of the Twitter game. I have three Alexis tweets and I have two non-Alexis tweets. I'm not going to tell you who they are.
Okay.
So, you know, there you go. Spot the two non-Alexis tweets. First tweet. Rick kills me. Laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, hashtag survivor.
Okay.
Number two. Okay, one tweet. We like Julie to win. She was our choice from the start. She's a selfish ass woman, hashtag survivor.
Okay.
Then we have tweet number three. Aurora is a beast, hashtag survivor.
Hmm.
Tweet number four. This has never worked, dot, dot, dot. Good luck with the plan, hashtag survivor.
So three of the four are real.
Three of the five are Alexis tweets.
Okay.
Number five. Bonfire lighting is always the best for people's faces. Lol, it needs to replace the ring light, hashtag survivor.
Mm.
Now, do you know what the ring light is?
Yes, I know what it is.
Okay, good, good.
I'm an influencer,
Bad Millennial,
Allie.
Yeah. Jordan, do you know the ring light?
No.
The ring light is a like circular light that gives the best lighting for selfies.
Mm, yeah. Now, Alexis Maxwell, I think, is more of a proponent of the Belfie.
It's none of my business. That's none of your business.
If you're an Instagram follower, it is.
That's okay. None of your business,
okay.
Rob.
All right.
Nicole?
So let's. So what am I? I'm trying to figure out which three are right, or am I trying to find the two that aren't?
Either way, same difference.
This is the problem that you have on these quizzes.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's the same six of one, half a dozen of another.
Okay, I will say...
By spotting the two fakes, you've spotted the three real ones.
Okay. Can you read them again really quick?
Sure. So number one, Rick kills me with some laugh cry emojis. Number two is the selfish ass woman. Do you need the whole one, Red?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Number three is Aurora is a beast. Number four, this has never worked. Good luck with the plan. Number five, bonfire lighting is always the best for people's faces.
Okay. I'll say that three and four are not the Alexis Maxwell tweets.
Can I get a guess also?
Sure.
Well, yes.
I'm going to say 2 and 4. I think two. She said we. It was in the plural. I don't know why she's talking about multiple people.
Okay, so Jordan has said 2 and 4, but you both agree this has never worked. Good luck with the plan. Is a fake Alexis Maxwell tweet.
So we were right.
You're incorrect. Oh. That was a real one. Oh. The fake ones were Aurora is a beast. So Rob got that one right. And Jordan got one right. That was a Rupert bot tweet. Oh. We like Julie to win. She's a selfish ass woman.
That's a Rupert bot tweet. She's a selfish ass woman.
Well, I think I told it. Yeah. I gave Rupert the most bot
time to
reading.
Update the firmware. Okay.
Rupert bot probably would have, you could have read it as she's a selfish ass woman or she's a selfish ass woman.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Is that pro woman or anti woman?
He likes Julie to win. So it's pro a woman.
Mm, okay. All right. I wasn't sure if selfish ass woman was a good thing or I guess it depends on who's saying it.
Yeah, it's all about context.
Mm-hmm. Like, I so feel like here. If Angelina's saying it, I hear it one way, and if Russell Hantz is saying it, I hear it a different way. If Russell Hantz is saying it, I hear it a third way.
Russell Hantz.
Okay. All right. Allie, have you emptied out the social media mailbag?
That is all I have for you. Isn't that enough, Rob?
I don't know. Do we have time to play Twitch still?
We have time. Look, I think Ali's strategy was to like run out the clock. That's maybe the longest social media segment since we've been doing it this season. And I think she was hoping we would forget to get to the quiz.
Ali, do you still have time before your Seder?
I had a meeting that I have already missed, so let's just do it.
Okay.
I'm already miserable taking the quiz. I might as well miss my obligations for it.
All right. So sorry about this, Allie, that this was not supposed to be this long. I think we're already at the longest twist episode of the season. Sure. So, all right. Before we get into that, let me just get to our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And we've got a new sponsor to talk about called Care/Of. It's a subscription service to easily get vitamins, protein powders, and more personalized just for you and delivered straight to your door. Maybe this is what Darnell is doing. Spring into a healthy routine with the winter blues coming to an end. It's finally time to get back into a routine that empowers you to feel your healthiest. Give yourself an extra boost this season, whether you're looking for more energy, better sleep, maintaining stress, or something else to help you feel your healthiest. Now, Allie, I know you don't like quizzes, but Care Of's online quiz lets you know exactly what you need. Care Of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, your health goals, and your lifestyle choices. It only takes about 5 minutes to find out your personal, scientifically backed recommendation for vitamins, protein powders, and more. Taking care of your health should be easy and convenient. It's hard to know what vitamins and supplements you should be taking, but Care Of makes it easy to find out what you specifically need to have to be your healthiest. Experience the Care Of difference. They've got protein powders and individual packets on the go and tubs, all personalized to your fitness goals and your dietary preference. Plus, Care Of make sure you're getting vitamins and protein from the best sources, backed by honest guidance and transparency. So go ahead and give it a shot for 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code RHAPS 50. That's 50% off at takecareof.com at RHAPS 50. Go ahead and give Take Care Of a try to get your personal health in order. Okay. Let's go.
To be clear, I only don't like quizzes I don't know the answers to. I know my personal health. I would love that quiz.
Okay.
100%.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our This Week in Survivor History quiz with Ali Lasher.
Twish.
All right. Jordan.
Yes.
Take it away.
All right. So, as we have every week, but look, we have families around the country and around the world, like Ali's family and my family, are going to be asking the four questions. I'm going to be asking you guys four questions. So as always, I have four multiple choice.
What are the four questions?
You can answer two. It's a Passover thing. I don't have to explain it.
Read it in your
book. We do have time. I do have time to tell the story of Passover on this podcast.
Well, I was saying, telling Jordan and Allie before the show that there is like a red box at the elementary school where you could take a book out and give away books that you don't need. And my kids are always in there. And Dominic recently brought home Deanu, the story of why we celebrate Passover. And I said, Dad, can you read this book to me? And so we read all through Deanu, Deanu, Deanu. That's what we
sing.
Should
we tell him it's Deanu so that the Jews don't come for him on Twitter?
Okay. It was Deanu. We should have told you that before, before we started recording.
Kalish Kalish thing, I think.
Do you know what Deanu means, Rob? Do you know what it means?
I do not.
Enough.
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 Okay.
It would have been enough. I actually brought Akiva in. Wouldn't that be amazing if I brought Akiva in to ambush you to talk about what Deanu means?
Did you?
No, I did not.
Okay. I was half expecting this. I thought maybe you were pulling one over on us, where you were going to be the you were the Arthur of your own fate, bringing Akiva into the podcast.
I am constantly pulling things over on you guys, but no, I don't have Akiva.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, I have four multiple choice questions. You're each going to answer two of them. If you choose not to hear the multiple choice options and you're correct, you get 2 points. If you're wrong, your opponent gets to steal. If you would like just to go for the safe route and get 1 point, you will hear the multiple choice options. Your opponent cannot steal. And then at the end, we'll go to a final round. So,
now, can
Allie,
I choose not to hear the question? Is that possible?
You can just answer, sure.
Yeah, you have to hear the questions. I'm going to give you the four categories. We have This Is Ghost, This Week in Survivor Injuries 1, Undrafted, and This Week in Survivor Injuries 2. Allie, you're the guest. You get to choose first.
Okay, let's do This Week in Survivor Injuries 1.
Okay, so, and also, as you guys, well, Allie, you don't listen to this podcast, so you might not know, but you get to use your voice-enabled device for either one of your multiple choice questions, whether it's a Siri Fields or a Greg Buis, anything like this, you can use.
Yeah, so, I do my homework. I heard this. Mm-hmm. I won't be as good as Jenny Autumn, but I similarly don't have any voice enabled devices. Yeah. But I'll
it
keep
wouldn't
that
help
in
anyway.
Mind.
It doesn't matter.
I also let Allie Lasher can Google for 20 seconds. Also.
Oh, Rob, you're letting me Google for 20 seconds? Yeah, he did tell me I could use any lifeline I wanted.
I just didn't want her to no-show for the podcast. I told Allie Lasher that she can do whatever means necessary just to get her here.
Whatever means necessary to get me here. I'm here, so let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to go to Survivor Kagiyan. This is from the episode Sitting in My Spy Shack from April 23rd, 2014, 5 years ago Tuesday. Who fell out of a papaya tree, non-seriously injuring his tailbone?
Okay, Survivor Kagiyan, who fell out of a papaya tree and seriously injured his tailbone?
Non-seriously
injured his tailbone. Let's hear the choices because I have no idea.
Okay, is it A, Jeremiah, B, Spencer, C, Tony, or D, Wu?
Okay, slow down. A, Jeremiah, B, Spencer,
C, Tony, and D,
Tony.
Wu.
D. Wu.
Do you know a lot of people tell Jordan Kalish that he sounds like Spencer?
Yeah, me too. All right. I think it's Wu. D. Wu.
D. Wu. D. Face Wu. That is correct.
Easy. Easy.
Yes.
That's actually Weasel Wu. You start with 1 point. Al, you're on the board. You were so nervous about this, and you have a 1-0 lead against Rob.
I was not nervous about it. Rob was rightfully thinking I wouldn't want to come on the podcast. I was nervous.
Yeah, but yeah, you're in the lead.
You're just aggressively anti the Twitch quiz.
Exactly. My official position is reluctant, not nervous.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, Rob, you get to choose the next category. We have This Is Ghost, Undrafted, and This Week in Survivor Injuries 2.
I'll do This Is Ghost.
Okay, This Is Ghost. We're going to Ghost Island. It's like the perfect
ghost.
Crime. The episode is It's Like the Perfect Crime from April 25th, 2018, 1 year ago Thursday. In this episode, who became the only player of the season to lose the Ghost Island game during the day, in turn losing their vote at Tribal Council?
I think it was Angela.
Angela is correct. So, Rob, you take a 2-1 lead there.
Ooh, Rob,
very risky.
Wow, 2 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, 2 points. So yeah, Angela went for it and didn't win. So I specified I specified during the day here because technically Chris Noble didn't really lose the game. It was more of a mixed result, but I didn't want you to accuse me of a poorly worded question. So the during the day was a little clue there. So
I really would have gotten you on the technicality. Mm-hmm. So good thing that you did that.
Millennial judge will overrule any of these results.
I saw it coming. Look, I asked these questions to my mom over the phone, and as I was reading them to her in my head, I said, "I will get crucified for this if I don't specify."
easy there with the Easter jokes.
Oh, sorry.
But you practice this every week with your mom?
No, just this week. Okay. Just this week. I have practiced.
Who
them
look
with,
who's
with
nervous?
Why were you nervous this week? Because Ali Lasher was going to be on.
I wasn't nervous. I was just on the phone and happened to ask the questions. I had them in front of me.
Okay.
I have practiced them before with various listeners and patrons who I watch Survivor with, but not every week. No, it's not an every week thing.
Okay.
But we have two more categories, Allie. We have undrafted and this week in Survivor Injuries 2.
Undrafted or roll the dice on another injuries. All right, let's do undrafted.
Okay, so we're going to Game Changers. The episode is A Line Drawn in Concrete from April 26, 2017, 2 years ago Friday. The reward challenge at the Game Changers Final 11 is partly notable for Ceree overcoming her balance beam nemesis in a losing effort, who unfortunately was not drafted to participate in this challenge and therefore had no chance to win the Island Picnic reward.
I think I know this one.
Mm-hmm.
Actually... This was Game Changers. I watched that season. Okay. The reward I want to make sure I'm not confusing this. The reward challenge where Ceree did the beam and Jeff was like so excited about the episode of the probe show that was happening. Who was undrafted in that challenge? I think it was Michaela.
Michaela is correct. Yeah, famously, she sat on the challenge. She sat on the bench. The secret advantage was under her
and she
the
missed
whole
it.
Time. She missed it. Yeah, and Sarah Lucina got it. So you get 2 points there. You have a 3-2 lead.
Bye, Felicia.
Over very, very good job. Bye, Felicia. So, Allie, you're doing very well. So you have a 1 point lead here. Rob, you get the last question. And this
I'm getting
is,
lucky. I'm getting recent seasons.
Mm. I know. This week in Survivor Injuries 2.
Did your mom get that question right?
she did not. We are going to. So she did get a call. I think she got two of them right. But we're going to Survivor Fiji, Blackmail or Betrayal from April 26, 2007, 12 years ago Friday. Who partially dislocated his knee while competing for reward, but popped it back in and decided to keep going in the challenge?
I'm going to need to hear the choices.
Okay. Was it A, Alex Angarita, B, Boo Burnus, C, Earl Cole, D, Mookie Lee?
I want to say it was Boo.
Boo is correct, and you get a point there.
I wanted
so
to steal.
We are going in to the final round, tied 3-3. Yeah, Boo got injured a lot during the season, and this was one of the many examples. Yeah,
and there was like a big sound in the episode.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, there was a pop. Yeah. There was a pop. It was kind of nasty. But
Rob, did you actually not know, or did you just want to push a tie?
No, I actually didn't know. And you know, if first there's a pop,
if you go too low, your flag will pop. If you go too high, your urn will drop.
I actually don't know how the last round works because you famously declined to participate in it with Jenny Autumn.
Okay. All right. Well, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, we have. Okay. And this one is going to be, this is an interesting one because this game is, the death match is called Kalish Math. Here
Kalish
we go.
Kalish Math.
I can't do math, but can you? You will choose two numbers from 1 through 8, with each number corresponding to a numerical fact in Survivor history. You must add the numbers you get from your two facts in order to get the correct answer. For example, if my two facts were the number of questions I had written for this podcast as of 10 a.m. this morning and the number of beers I've stolen from Brett LaBelle, I would add 0 and 1 in order to get 1 as the correct answer. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after 4 answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker.
Rob, you do this every week?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. This is one of the more confusing ones, and I'm really going to test my own math skills here to see if I can add my numbers correctly. Allie's
going to be saying Dainu by the end of this.
Exactly. Allie, you're the guest, so you get
Dainu
to choose first.
Dainu is Dainu.
You choose choose a number. Choose two numbers from 1 through 8, and once the numbers are taken, they can't be used
they're
again
off the board.
In the round.
Sometimes. Okay. Let me just make sure I understand the rules so I don't get hit on the technicality on the back end here. Okay, I'm going to pick two numbers. That's going to reveal two questions that have number answers. Then I
Correct.
Have to add the number
add
and
them.
Give you the right answer will be the sum of the two number answers.
Yeah, fun fact, I originally had a wheel, which the wheel included both addition and multiplication, and you were going to I was going to spin the wheel, but that was way too much.
Yeah.
So, yes. You're gonna need to know two things that happened this week in Survivor history, and you're gonna have to add them together.
Okay, let's go out to Rick Devins for a report on this edition of the Deathmatch.
This sucks.
I think I'm glad you didn't go to the wheel because I hear wheels are overexposed nowadays.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Too many wheels on these podcasts. But yeah, Allie, which two numbers from 1 through 8 would you like to choose? A lot of numbers
in this
game.
All right, let's do number 2 and number 6 because this doesn't matter, right?
So let me, it's just random. So let me X out the 2 and the 6 so I don't accidentally use them again.
Hmm.
Okay, so number 2. This is the idols number of idols played at the Heroes versus Villains merged tribal council, plus the letters in the first name of the first person in Survivor history to ever go to Exile Island.
Okay, wait. I write them down as you say it because I'm a visual person. So the first one is the idols
sure.
played at Heroes versus Villains merged tribal council.
Yes, number of hidden immunity idols played at the Heroes versus Villains merged tribal council.
Okay,
plus,
and then what was the next question?
The letters in the first name of the first person in Survivor history to ever go to Exile Island.
I'm glad that you're listening to the feedback of the listeners where they wanted you to be more ambitious and make things more complicated on the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
When I was hosting a Mafia game of 20 people last night, that was the feedback that they wanted me to have more rules and explain more things.
The number of letters in the first name of the first person in Survivor history to go to tribal counts, to go to Exile Island. Exile. Okay. So I feel like I have a special relationship with that person.
Ooh.
So, I think the answer to your question is 7.
7 is incorrect. It's
Ooh.
6.
Incorrect.
There were 2 hidden immunity idols played at the Heroes versus Villains Tribal Council,
that I
and
had.
There are 4 letters in Janu.
Who is the person you have a special relationship
Janu.
With?
Janu. I didn't think it was Janu. Never mind.
Who do you have a special
mind
relationship
business.
With?
Don't worry about it.
Well, that's somebody with 5 letters in their name.
Yeah.
But, Allie, you're not done yet. So if Rob gets this one right, he wins the quiz. But if he gets it wrong, we keep going. So, Rob, pick 2 more numbers between 1 and 8. You can't pick 2 and you can't pick 6.
Okay. I will go with 3 and 4.
3 and 4. Let me X them out. Here we go. Okay. This is the number of you're going to like this one. The number of letters from home purchased at the Amazon auction. And the number of votes not cast for Zoe at the tribal council in which she was voted out. And this is Survivor Marquesas.
The number of votes not
cast
for
Zoe at the tribal council in which she was voted out.
I mean, we are really in the weeds. The number of...
But the other one is your own season.
The number of votes not cast for Zoe... I'm going to say that the answer is 3.
Okay. So there were 2 letters from home purchased at the Amazon auction. And that was, Jenna and Christy. And the Zoe vote was a unanimous vote in which she was the only one not to vote for herself. Everyone was mad at her, because she tried to play it off like she was never part of the Road to 4, which was of course a lie. So Rob, you win the quiz, 4-3.
Okay.
One point game here. Very close game. First close game in a while. But Rob is the winner. I'm sorry, Allie.
No, it's fine. You know, I had programming in my ear. It wasn't the right programming in my ear. I am actually on the phone with Jonathan Foreman right now, who is, as he said, is bad at this. But no, Jonathan was great, very helpful. I wouldn't have even had a guess for the question of Exile Island, of who's the first gone Exile Island. I did know the Michaela one, but it was nice to get his confirmation on that. And so thank you to Jonathan Foreman for helping me cheat.
Yes.
But cheaters never win.
Yeah. And look, I think most people don't come on here and get both of their multiple choice questions correct.
Question, Rob, because I asked Jordan Kalish if we could prank you by him fixing the quiz for me and giving me all the answers and just like miraculously getting them all right. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be hilarious. Jordan thought you wouldn't like it. He takes this very seriously. Well, he didn't want to.
I do think that it would really, his credibility would take a major hit after doing that.
Yeah, but everyone knows I'm a fool. So yeah. I would take full responsibility. But I thought it would have been hilarious because you couldn't have had lower expectations for me on this quiz.
My brand is honor and integrity. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
So
you couldn't.
Allie,
nobody ever has had less faith in me in my entire life.
The issue was
Rob,
not that I felt like that you couldn't do good at the quiz. I knew you didn't want to do the quiz, and I thought that doing the quiz was a turnoff for you about coming on this podcast. So I was willing to do anything to get you to come for the podcast because I think we had a good show here today. But if you are at one point, I said, "Hey, just come. We'll find somebody else to do the quiz. We'll do it. We'll have a pinch quizzer." Not because I thought you would
pinch quizzer.
Not because I thought you would do bad. Because you wouldn't want to do the quiz.
Well, I ended up doing well on the quiz, and Jonathan Foreman and I famously did a trivia contest together. And he knew everything. I knew nothing. I had studied for weeks. I put more effort into studying for that, for Max Dawson's class, than I did any of my classes. And I didn't need to answer a single question because Jonathan truly is a encyclopedia of non-weedsy facts, I guess. And then I've also competed against Colton Cumby in a trivia, ooh, Survivor trivia quiz.
Really?
This is not my first Survivor quiz.
Mm, okay.
Did he quit? Did he quit the quiz?
Yeah, no, he lost.
Okay.
Boom.
Boom.
You should get him on Twitch.
I would love to have him on Twitch.
There you go. Maybe T-Bird. I assume he was on your top 10.
No, he was not. Well, I think that I would be able to track him down. T-Bird is working on people that are harder to find.
That's a good spin. It's not about who you want more. It's just who's less accessible to you.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Allie Lasher, of course. She is at LashTweets. A great Twitter handle.
Wow, that's so nice of you to say.
Yes. Although you were giving me some feedback before the podcast started about why should people care what I have to say about Twitter handles?
No. That's not what I said. I famously stan your ranking of Twitter handles, and I give myself credit for bringing that into the mainstream because I feel like I have. Well, that's one of the first things I ever said to you on a podcast I was on with you is how much I enjoy your ranking.
Oh, good.
Of it. But I think when you've ranked my Twitter handle, you took into account your bad memory. You were like, I don't remember if there's an underscore. Mm-hmm. That feels like a you problem.
Well, I think that anybody that is going to tweet to you, that I think that they're in the same boat. How do you know who to tweet to if you don't remember them?
Nobody's ever had a problem remembering my Twitter handle,
because it's a
Rob.
Good Twitter handle.
Right. I have a clarification from Jonathan. So when I was... Jonathan, what I thought he said was Missy. Mm. And that's why I said I have a connection to this person. He actually said Misty. And that he wants to clarify that Misty was the first to go to exile on the Exile Island
on
season.
On that season. Correct.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well,
pissed emoji.
One
so he's
of
upset
the
about
problems
that.
With having a go-between that you're cheating with, that they can't hear the question. And then sometimes it's harder to discern.
Well, you said first to go to exile ever.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't give me the season. So that's on him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I said the first in Survivor history. Look, the title of that episode from Fiji is Exile Island.
Right now, I'm just saying, like, that wasn't the go-between was fine. The cheating was fine. It's just, you know, right. he didn't get the answer right.
Yeah, both. It was wrong on two counts, where both that he had the wrong answer, and then you also misinterpreted who.
Well, I still got the same red letters. That would have been the same guess. There's still five letters. He told me seven. He didn't just rely on the name.
Yeah. Okay.
Great cheat. 10 out of 10 would recommend Jonathan for you guys to cheat with if you
What's
ever
Jonathan's,
need to cheat.
What's Jonathan's Twitter handle?
Jofo with some numbers. Not a great one.
Not a good one. Not a good one.
Talking about Twitter, Allie, who was the first survivor you followed on Twitter? If you had to guess, which you do. You do have to guess.
I think Rob.
You're correct. It was Rob. And the second one, this probably makes sense. It's Max Dawson, Professor Max.
Well, he wasn't a survivor when I followed him.
True, but he is now a survivor, and you do follow him.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the second person who you followed as a survivor was Stephen Fishback. Very basic, Jonathan and Stephen.
Jofo322 is his Twitter handle.
I like the Jofo part.
Yeah, but that's his nickname, Jofo, and he didn't give that to himself.
Oh, he also went to Northwestern.
Yes. He was in Max's class with me. That's where we did the trivia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You followed him very soon after Stephen.
Yeah, because I only realized that other people watch Survivor after being in Max's class.
What if he was Jofo the Mofo?
that doesn't really fit his brand. He's a clerk. He's like a very important lawyer.
Well,
I guess I shouldn't say his job, but he's,
look,
I don't think Jofo the Mofo fits his, he's no farm guy 69.
If I had a choice of a lawyer between Jofo 322 or Jofo the Mofo, I'm definitely going with Jofo the Mofo, but that's just me.
Yeah, but you're not his target client.
Mm.
You're like cool. You're in the like tech space podcast. Like, you know, Jofo the Mofo doesn't go over well in a court of law.
Okay. I think it goes over well anywhere, but that's just me.
I guess nowadays, who even cares?
Yeah. We have the norms are out the window. Jofo the Mofo is the ideal person you want representing you. All right, there you go. Allie Lasher, what's happening on the challenge wrap-up besides not having Akiva on?
Yeah, also not having me on. We just recorded a podcast drop today, very fun podcast with Brian. I'm going to have to take 2 to 3 weeks off to, finish this thing and graduate from law school. So I'll be back. Actually, Jofo the Mofo is going to be on next week with Brian, and then Brian's going to have another sub. I'll be back for the tail end of it. I will be degree in hand the next time you guys hear me on a podcast.
I'm also just want to say that I'm really proud of the longevity that you and Brian have had on the challenge rehap up, that I believe that you guys are coming up on 5 years together podcasting about the challenge, which is incredible.
We are. I have covered, this will be my 15th season of coverage. I don't think including whatever I did on RuPaul's Drag Race, because I did 6 seasons of Are You the One? And 15 minus 6 seasons of the challenge.
Right.
So it's been
That's 9.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. It's been great. I can't wait. I say this at the end of every podcast. I didn't say it last night because it won't be the end of the season. But I treat every podcast like it's my last. Any day I'm waiting for a text from you that says, you had a good run. Now get out of my feed.
No, we will not. We will not. And great job here today. Happy you came on Twiz.
Never again. That's all I wanted to say.
I have something to plug too this week. You know, normally it's just this, and then you come back next week and it's me again. Talking about Akiva Whitaker, I'm going to be on the 32 Fans podcast this week talking about the NFL draft. So if you want my draft takes, which have in the past few years sort of been mixed in terms of their success as far as my predictions go, you can listen to that with Akiva and Chester. This is like the third time Chester's been brought up on Twist this season, which is, I think, a record for him. But yeah, I'll be on there. If you have any interest in the draft, any interest in your boy Deese, listen to that one.
And also, I just want to give Deese Ghoulish some praise, who last week we had Kurt Clark on the podcast, and we recorded with Jordan on Tuesday, and he brought up the Masters, and I said, who's going to win the Masters? And Jordan on Tuesday called Tiger Woods winning the Masters this year, and for the first time ever, one of his sports predictions actually came true, and I feel like that he did not get enough credit on Twitter, because I think people thought we were recording that like on Saturday going into Sunday, but predicted that before the Masters even started.
I did. You know what, my strategy was for predicting that? I think he might be the only golfer I could have thought of on the top of my head.
Okay. Well done.
You should have bet $85,000. I should have.
I don't know
right
why I didn't.
Okay. All right. Well, great work, Ali Lasher, and great job again, Jordan Kalish, on this supersized edition of This Week in Survivor. Want to give a big shout out to the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Got to see so many people down in Philadelphia. Had a really fun couple of days, and great getting to meet so many of you in person. If you want to hear more about everything we're doing behind the scenes at Rob is a Podcast, access to our patron-only podcast feed, and becoming a part of our Rob is a Podcast patron community, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information about all that. robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you both again so much. I've got Hannah Shapiro coming up next. So if you're listening to this on Friday night or Saturday morning, there's still time to get your question in. Otherwise, we'll talk to Hannah and then Mama C after that, plus Wiggle Room on Monday with Josh. And of course, if you are a Game of Thrones fan like Ali Lasher, jump in for the Snow It Alls. Join us live for the Snow It Alls after episode number 2 of the final season of Game of Thrones on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube and on postshowrecaps.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.